everybody.
Hello!
We are here with Boy Oh Boy Conversations with Gray and JC. Grayson.
JC.
It's been a little bit, Grayson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another remote recording. We couldn't record on Tuesday.
Our favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. We couldn't record on Tuesday, which is our usual recording day, because of, well, quite frankly, you and your character flaws, thoughts, comments?
I would more call them computer flaws, but, you know.
Oh, I misspoke. That is the word I meant. That is the word I meant. My bad. Yeah, your computer wasn't working.
After about 5 hours of fiddling with it, I did get it working again.
That is good. I'm glad that the extent to which it impacted my life was only like an hour or so before we called it quits. Because, you know, we were supposed to record at like 6 or something. And then I think it got close to 7. And I was like, you just want to record another day? So we chose today, which is Thursday, if the listening audience doesn't know. Just for Parsifal, this episode's going to be going up same day at 11:45 p.m. Just for him.
Let's go.
That's right. But I almost made that not a possibility. I almost fucked us today and made Boy Oh Boy not happen again, Grayson.
It's true.
Yeah. And this time it was my computer issues, right?
Your character flaws.
Okay. Okay, that maybe. I misspoke again, but this time in the reverse. I had a midterm. It's not even a midterm that's due today. It's a midterm due Sunday. But I saw on my calendar, Thursday's wide open after work. Let me just study and then do the midterm. It turns out about 5 minutes after I clicked start on the midterm, Grayson was in the Discord waiting room. Well, waiting to record Boy Oh Boy. This is the day and time we discussed recording, and I forgot. I didn't put it in my calendar. Oh, sorry, calendar flaw is what I meant to say earlier.
Yes.
These words are just so similar. The English language is so complex. Only the real ones know, you know?
Yeah. It actually ended up being totally fine because I got to hang out with Hans a bunch.
Let's go.
And he's talked me into buying a new computer. Or building a new computer, I should say.
You're already kind of leaning in that direction, but...
Yeah.
You had a nice little shove.
I just kind of caved. Because, like, to tell you the truth, I'm mostly clinging to this computer out of sentimentality at this point, and also the cost of making a new computer. And I think I can stomach the cost, even though I can tell you it's going to suck. I know it's going to suck. I don't want to spend this much money on a computer, but I think it's the right move.
Well, let's focus on solving the other half. Like the price thing, it's going to hurt. It's going to sting, but you said you got it. You'll be good. But the other thing we have not addressed yet is the emotional attachment you have to the computer. And I have a very simple solution. You just keep it in your bedroom.
You know, that's a great point.
Yeah. And then everyone will walk in and be like, whoa, who's the genius hacker that lives here? Because of all the computers around and also all of the various rolling chairs. let's say what hacking team is operating out of this apartment in Austin, Texas.
And, you know, I have another computer and two monitors in my closet right now. Perhaps just set those back up.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, you could just convert the living room if it becomes a bit too much, you know?
So true.
Yeah. Issa might prefer that.
Yeah, I can't say Isa would really enjoy me having an additional two computers set up in this room.
Yeah. However, the living room, who would not love that?
That seems like an easy go. Yeah.
I think so. Well, Grayson, I look forward to it. I very much look forward to every time you need to use your computer, you have to go into your living room and sit out there for an extended period of time. That's like when I was a kid and we had a family computer. That's awesome.
You know what's crazy? My computer, like, setup.
Uh-huh.
Or not computer setup. My living room setup. The, like, whole thing that is out there. You know, the big wooden thing out there?
Okay.
That the TV is sitting on?
Yeah.
That was my old desk computer. Like, computer desk.
Oh, my gosh. I think I remember this. Was it not on there when I first met you?
I believe it was.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Because the center of the three segments, it has those doors in it so that you can put your computer down in the bottom section, has a pull out for your keyboard, and then you put your monitors up top.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar, it's a giant fucking wall piece that's been in Grayson's room and living room since I've known him. It does not scream, put your computer here. It does not even remotely. It says, put your antiques and your collectibles here.
Yeah, no, that's fairly accurate, but I think that's mostly because of the context I've used it in that you're probably thinking that, because I will tell you, I don't know what it screams.
That color wood, it just doesn't mesh with technology. Maybe like an old-timey TV, like one of those boxy gray ones, but certainly not like a flat screen. I don't think so, at least.
Fair enough.
I think it will look wonderful when there are so many computers that it kind of overwhelms the space. I think in that context, it'll look great. So
I think that's the ideal outcome, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, sorry about that, Gray the Gray. This might be a pretty quick episode, so we can get you to bed on time. What's your bedtime for tonight? It's 8 p.m. already.
JC, I've been getting like 4 or 5 hours of sleep each night. I've accepted that this week is just, it's done. It's cooked.
Okay. Oh, it's a wash. Well, that's not really how a wash works, but we're just accepting defeat.
Yeah, I've accepted I'm not getting sleep this weekend. I will catch up as best I can over the weekend and hopefully get my sleep schedule back in line for next week.
Okay, I wish you great luck. I will let you know, yesterday I was going to do my midterm then. Instead, I was going to do my midterm, some other homework, some work for the therapy clinic I'm doing some part-time stuff for. However, I ended my therapy session with my therapist around 5 p.m., and I don't know what happened, but after that, I woke up at 11:30 p.m., really upset, because I'm not sure. I slept through the entire afternoon and evening. I don't even remember really, like, sitting on my couch or laying down. So I was really dismayed waking up at almost midnight and being like, oh, fuck, I need to do all of this work now. And so I went to bed for real at, like, 3 a.m., So that was my yesterday. A little bit different on the sleep front. I got a lot of sleep. I got like 9 hours, which is way more than usual.
Congrats on that, I guess. You know, whatever.
It served me so well, because on average with this new job, I've been getting like 6 to 5 hours of sleep a night, I think. And so the 9, it's crazy how much more enjoyable life becomes on human hours of sleep, you know?
It probably immediately and dramatically improved your well-being.
Yeah. Not the whole like rushing to get work done at midnight, but the longer term ramifications. Great, awesome. So I don't know. What does that even look like though? If I have to wake up at like 5:30 a.m. every day, and I want 8 to 9 hours of sleep, let's just go 8. 8 is way more reasonable. I'd have to be going to bed at what? 9:30.
Yeah, 9:30. You'd have to be asleep at 9:30.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's not possible, I don't think. With all my schoolwork and the tattoos and the part-time job and my action figure t-shirts, of course, maybe the most invaluable of the bunch. I don't think 9:30 is feasible. But on the days where it is, I guess I just have to do it.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wake up at 5:30 as well, so I don't know. We can try together.
We can. You know? It's not like we're roommates. It's not going to – are we going to, like, text each other and be like, I'm up?
That's an option. You know, we could also text each other like, hey, go into bed now.
Oh, okay.
And then it's a reminder to the other person.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, no, I should be in bed right now. I better go get ready for bed. Or like, if you're watching YouTube or you're just fiddling on your phone, uh-huh. You can be like, okay, let me shut this off now.
True. Can I ask you what you're wearing when you say that?
When you're like, I mean, that seems polite. Yeah.
Okay. And then maybe after you tell me, can I say pick ?
Well, as you see, the idea is to get off the phone, so I don't want the conversation to drag on.
Oh, okay. So maybe just tell me what you're wearing and send the picture up front.
Yeah, just to avoid the unnecessary back and forth.
I think, yeah. No, that's fair. No, I think that sounds perfect. We'll really hold each other accountable in that way. I'll be honest, as much as my alarms are all set for 5:30, I've woken up like clockwork at 6 pretty much, or like 5:57 every day. And then I just mad dash rush to get ready and leave my apartment within 30 minutes. And it's somehow been successful. It's just way more stressful than I'd like it to be every morning, you know?
I do the exact same thing. I set my alarm for 5:30. I actually get up closer to like, honestly, I normally don't get up till like 6:20, but I don't need to leave my apartment till like 7 because I have I guess a shorter commute than you.
You so do not have a shorter commute than me. My commute is about 4 minutes total.
Okay, whatever. Rub it in. When do you start work?
So technically 6:45, but they want you to be there a bit earlier. And then also the stoplights. So 4 minutes is on a good day. 4 minutes is when all the stoplights are green. If I'm accounting for all the stoplights being red, which will sometimes happen, it can be like 8 minutes. So my work day technically starts at 6:45. That's when I have to clock in.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope that's okay.
But they want you there early?
Well, yeah, because there's like a big old meeting that goes on in the beginning of the day. Like, you don't have to be there before 6:45. The meeting's technically 6:45 to 7, you know? So, I mean, I'm usually there at like 6:45-ish. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not abusing us too bad. I will say that they've ushered in a new group of orientees. A month has passed since my orientation, so now all the new people are coming in. And we are training this dude, and this dude was actually at the same hospital 10 years ago. He worked there when he was like in his early 20s, and now he's back in his early 30s, which is kind of crazy. But he was asking about like when to take breaks and everything, and I let him know right off the bat, like, hey, during orientation, they told us we'll have 2 15-minute breaks and a 30-minute lunch break. I just want to be totally clear. That never actually happens. Like, there is a lunch break that you're forced to take, but the 15-minute ones, if you ever find time to take one, do it. Go for it. But you're not going to have time to take those. And that has been the case.
I'll be so honest. I don't get my 15-minute breaks either.
Yeah. You were the one, when I told you about it, you were the one telling me, like, oh, that's illegal. They have to give you that. They have to give you that time off. They don't.
See, but here's the difference.
Yeah.
They kind of like dictate your schedule there to some extent, to where like I'm sure someone there could be like, hey, go take 15 right now. Or if they pre-scheduled it, you could in theory take it. I design my schedule. I make my own schedule. This is a problem of my own creation.
Okay. This makes sense. It's equivalent to like you being, I guess, salaried. But you're not even yet. You're not even salaried yet, right, at GameStop?
No.
This is so wild. Maybe that works out better for you, because maybe you would just end up working way more under salary and simply not get paid for it. I can see this being the reality.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% what's going to happen. I'm going to work so much more.
It makes sense. Well, either way, Gray the Gray. Work, got to get there early. Got to find out what happened throughout the night prior. And then we go to the floor, we relieve the staff from before, and then we have a great day. And I'll be honest, the past week and a half since I've been back at work, after coming back from that little vacation I went on where the music festival was canceled, everything work-wise has been really... I don't want to jinx it, but I think I've said it enough times that the jinx would have happened by now. Everything's been really calm. Like, it's been a bunch of good days in a row, which I'm very grateful for, because the bad days are just, as you know, incredibly bad. I was not working on the psychotic unit today, but I heard it was a rough day over there. That dude who I was helping train, he was over there today. And apparently they had a patient who was just, every moment he could muster it, pissing on the floor and then lapping it up, and just making a mess of the entire unit. So very happy.
That's an odd decision.
Yeah, odd decision, but not made by someone in their right state of mind, presumably, you know? Yeah.
If this was actually his most lucid moment.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Now that I've really come to my senses.
Uh-huh. Like, if
I think I know what I want to do.
Behaviorally, he's presenting as though he has psychosis. However, like, psychologically, he's perfectly fine. He is in tip-top condition. Is that what we're... Yeah. That'd be awesome. I appreciate that, you know?
I think I do, too.
Yeah. I hope that's the case. Because then he's like, you know, has some autonomy there, making decisions, living life how he wants to. That's really all we
can
ask for.
But yeah.
Odd decisions, but by whose metrics, you know? Maybe that's what we're all supposed to be doing. You can't knock it till you try it?
No, I think I can knock that one, to be totally honest.
Have you ever gotten a glimpse of what your piss tastes like?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I have too. I can't think of like in what scenario, but like I know I've definitely for sure like got a droplet of piss in my mouth. Like I don't, but I can't really think of like in what scenario, because I think of myself going to the bathroom. It's pretty hard to get piss from point A to point B, you know?
Yeah. I can't really remember the context either. I just do distinctly remember it salty.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like swimming pool. Maybe it's like you piss in the swimming pool, then you go down and you get some. I don't have a memory of doing that. It just seems more reasonable than the other alternative idea, which is maybe as a kid I pissed on the floor and lapped it up.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you did that.
Maybe. I don't remember much from my early childhood, so there's a real possibility that occurred. A very, very real one. A memory just reoccurred to me of... the memories I have from early childhood are so incoherent and not connected. They just are little flashbulbs all over the place. And the one that just occurred to me is that in one of... I think it was like the rental house that my family lived in for 1 year. In the downstairs bathroom, I remember being in there... And my mother presented me with a Spider-Man shaving set. I was, of course, no more than like 6 or 7 years old. There was no facial hair to be found on me. That didn't show up until like age 20. But it was a Spider-Man shaving set. And I remember feeling, wow, so big and mature, you know?
I'm a big boy now.
Yeah, because of my Spider-Man shaving foam. And, I mean, I wasn't wrong.
You know, I think I would use Spider-Man shaving foam right about now.
Like in this current iteration and version of your life?
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll look for it. I don't think it's available commercially anymore. This was a long time ago.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. I was at Ross Shop for Less the other day, and I was looking at the cologne section, and they had a lot of Captain America cologne. In case you might be interested in that, they had so much clearance Captain America cologne.
Oh my goodness. I think I need to make a trip to Ross.
Stock up. It's the one in South Park Meadows here in Austin. They had no fewer than like 10 Captain America colognes. And again, massively discounted. After all, it's Ross Shop for Less. So check it out, Gray the Gray. I think you'd smell wonderful with some Captain America cologne.
Do you have any memory of what the price was?
It was no more than like 18 to 25 bucks. It was in that range. But it was originally marked at like 60, I think. So. Yeah.
I think I could see doing the bid at like the $5 mark.
Ooh, yeah, no. Ross, you don't shop for that less, that much less. It's.
Well, I struggle to imagine it being priced at $60 to begin with. I was under the impression it was going to start at like $20 or $30.
I think you underestimate how many losers there are out there that would go to the store and say, wow, Captain America cologne, let me unironically purchase this.
I guess that's a fair point. I probably do underestimate the number of people like that out there.
And maybe I should not use the word loser. Maybe I should correct it, amend it to say millennial. I feel like many millennials will have gone out and purchased this Captain America cologne.
Are those different words?
I mean, and often they are synonymous, but we should leave some room for distinctions to be made, you know?
Mm.
I think it's kind of like the rectangle square situation where not all losers are millennials, but all millennials are losers, you know?
I see.
That's kind of how I choose to look at it, at least. Absolutely, Gray the Gray. But any updates you have from your life this past week?
Honestly, just busy. Always busy. Constantly busy. You know, I will say one thing. And this is a big thing.
Okay.
This is a major thing.
Whoa.
I have finally enjoyed playing a Mario Kart game.
You finally enjoyed the joys, the wonders, the merriment of Mario Kart?
Indeed. We went over to Steven's. It was Saturday, right?
I think so.
On Saturday, and Steven has a Switch 2. We do not have Switch 2, but he has a Switch 2.
Yeah. Do you don't have to like and remind me?
He has Mario Kart on said Switch 2.
He does. And it's been a blast to play. I've gotten to play it twice with him, Mario Kart World. It's so wonderful. I enjoy it. I still need to get good at it. I'm still not quite good at it, but I'm getting there. But Grayson, you enjoyed it.
I did. I think it's the first time I've played a Mario Kart game, and like I understood how my actions correlated to what was happening on the screen.
This is such good news. I will say,
like, I always feel like in a Mario Kart game, I will do something, and then it's like, that's not what I wanted to happen. And I can't quite, like, ever master the driving, I guess. I guess I cannot control it properly.
And that's tough in a kart racing game.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the core gameplay element. Mm-hmm. But this one, I guess the, like, auto driving or whatever assist they have on must be, like, by default super high. I had a great time.
Yeah, because I did. I had my auto steering turned off, but I noticed there are so many instances where the auto steering kicks in. Like, it is so different. The handling and the weight of the vehicles is so different from the last couple games. And it kind of, like, it works out because, like, it makes the game easier. But I really kind of despise that the auto steering is, like, not even completely turn offable, that it still kicks in, you know?
I'm totally on board with it.
I guess. How do you feel about my main, Swimsuit Daisy?
It's an odd choice, but a very JC choice.
Thank you very much. Who is your main again?
I mean, normally I go for Luigi, but I've been playing Aviator Mario.
That's right, Aviator Mario. Also, we were trying our damnedest. Bless our little hearts, you, me, and Steven. We were trying to unlock the character Peepaw, and it just was not going our way.
No, it really was not.
Peepaw is a ghost, but not Boo, the other ghost who's less notable from the Mario franchise. But
I think we probably spent an hour just trying to unlock it, which is a lot considering we only spent like 4 or 5 hours there.
And you know what's so messed up is I don't feel like I improved even remotely on Boo's Mansion or Boo Cinema. Like, the course is just as difficult.
I think that one's just a bad course.
Maybe. Maybe so.
Because I will say some of the courses I enjoyed significantly more than others.
Yeah, that makes sense. But Peepaw, I just want Peepaw so bad. Hopefully next time I see Steven, he's going to have Peepaw already. But it's not looking great, the odds on that one, you know?
Yeah, just judging from experience, it does not seem likely.
No, certainly not. But we hung out with Steven. We watched Megalopolis per his request. He ordered it on 4K Blu-ray, I believe it was. And whoa, did we watch Megalopolis?
It's quite a movie.
Quite. I don't really know how to expand on that. Aside from to say Aubrey Plaza was in it, and so was Adam Driver. And it was odd. It was a little odd.
I think I can confidently say it's not a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would feel in agreement with that. I'd say
I don't know if I could confidently say it's a bad movie, though.
Yeah. So what keeps me from declaring it a bad movie outright is that so much of it is related to, like, ancient Greek and Roman history, something of which I have no conception. I've never bothered to learn about or remember the details of this history, you know? And it seems like the movie was greatly influenced by this history. So much so that when the credits popped up at the end of the movie, the director thanked his son, whom he named Roman. You know, so this is a real big hyperfixation for this man. Who's the director again?
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola. And so a lot of the movie, it's like, I don't want to just write it off and dismiss it. Maybe if I got all the inside bits and such, it just resonate on a whole nother level. But instead, it came off as just a clunky movie that was just a little too convoluted and leaned too much into comedy at first and then completely ditched the comedy toward the end. Yeah. That's my description.
It was a strange experience, but I think I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I didn't have a bad time watching it, but no part of me feels particularly motivated to watch it again anytime soon, which is saying a lot, because I'm not saying I'll never watch it again. give me like a year or two. I'll watch it again with Steven. He has it on Blu-ray after all. But it's, yeah, it's just odd. I can't say I'd recommend it in good faith to anyone unless you want to get together with your friends and watch it on physical Blu-ray and drink.
Yeah, don't watch it by yourself. Definitely watch it with others.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about the idea of watching movies with sex scenes, one, by yourself, and then versus in the context of others? Because this movie did have, I think, just one sex scene, actually. Almost two, but just one.
I think, broadly speaking, I just don't care for sex scenes in movies, regardless of the context I'm watching it in. Uh-huh. The only time I'd be opposed to watching it in a group is if that group involved my family.
Okay, okay. Yeah, my grandparents, when I was about 12, decided to watch The Wolf of Wall Street with me, just the three of us, and I had no desire to watch that movie. They put it on. My grandpa put it on, and there was so much sex in that movie. It was really, I remember that pretty vividly from childhood as well. I don't love that. With my parents, it's not quite so uncomfortable. It's like, I don't know. They've had on like weird MTV shit my whole life, so that's never been quite. With the grandparents, it takes it to a whole different level, I find. But also, too, I'd say particularly, I don't want to see a sex scene with Adam Driver in it. That, he's not the guy I want to see fuck, you know? On any level.
I think
level.
That's fair.
Thank you. He's just so not that guy. He does not have that energy. And maybe that enhanced the scene. Maybe it captured what Francis Ford Coppola was going for. But I don't want to watch him have sex, please.
Yeah. No, he's just a kind of weird-looking dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with such a statement. Absolutely. Do you have a favorite actor, male actor, you would like to see in a sex scene, Gray the Gray?
You know, I can't say I do. Okay. Now that you mention it.
Well, get back to me next week on episode 397, okay?
Yeah, I'll compile a tier list.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, that was Megalopolis. Check it out or don't. Or you know what? Honestly, check it out and watch it with Steven. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably have a direct line of communication with Steven. Just let him know you want to watch it.
He'll be thrilled, I'm sure.
I think so. He'll get that his money's worth on the imported Megalopolis Blu-ray, you know?
When he said he had to import it, I was so expecting he was going to name like an outrageous price to get it.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, it was $40.
I mean, it is a lot for just a DVD, in my opinion, but
also for what DVD it was, but
yeah, it's not even like a specialty, like it's Megalopolis. Yeah, that is odd. That is a little odd. But shout out to Steven. Thank you so much for having us. By the way, can we talk a little bit more about movies, Grayson? And sure. Also a little bit more about Psychosis. You know the lead singer of the Beach Boys?
Yeah, Brian Wilson.
Yeah, that's right. I can't remember whether or not he's passed on quite yet. I think he did pretty recently.
Fairly confident.
Yeah, but I know in the later years of his life, he developed like pretty gnarly psychosis and was kind of in and out of, I think, treatment for all of that. I don't know what psychotic disorder
he had. Probably all the
drug
having.
Yeah, that probably didn't help, you know, but he just had a lot of hallucinations, delusions, etc. toward the end of his life, which is sad. That's tough. That's rough. But in one of these interviews that he did nearer the end of his life, I won't say like super recent, but definitely within the past couple decades, I only saw it now. I believe it's from the early 2000s, this interview with Brian Wilson. I only saw this clip of it now. Do you know what I'm about to tell you, about to reference?
I don't think so, no.
Oh my God, it was so wonderful. The interviewer asks Brian Wilson if he's watched any movies recently, and he says that he's seen the movie Norbit most recently. He enjoyed the movie Norbit. He saw that one most recently. Do you remember the movie Norbit?
Can't say I do.
Do you remember Will, one time when we were hanging out at Steven's, tried putting on this movie called Norbit, and it really fucking sucked, and we all agreed to turn it off after 15 minutes?
No.
Oh my God. Maybe you had already left by that point, but no, it's a Eddie Murphy movie where I think
yes.
Okay,
no,
okay,
I do remember.
Phew, thank goodness you remember Norbit. Brian Wilson's like, yeah, that's the most recent movie I've watched. And then the interviewer, you know, hits him with a follow-up question. Awesome, cool. The follow-up question is, what are some of your favorite movies of all time? To which Brian Wilson responds, Norbit. Norbit is on my list. And it's just a really, really beautiful moment in, I think, both music and cinema, you know?
Really where they intertwine.
Yes, and I'd like to put explicitly here, state explicitly, there wasn't irony in poor Brian Wilson's voice. I do fear he really enjoyed Norbit.
Or perhaps at that point, that was the only movie he could recall, period.
It's all that was floating around in his head. That's tough. That's tough. For Norbit to be like the focus of all your delusions and paranoia, I can't imagine what a life that's like. But
that's got to be pretty devastating.
Yeah, poor Brian Wilson. I hope he's, if he is alive, I hope he's doing great. I can't imagine he is, though, in which case I think maybe he's experiencing a bit more peace at the moment. Let's see. Oh, he died in June. He died a few days ago. He died.
You're joking.
15 days ago. Yeah, not like a few, but 15 days ago he died.
Huh.
Maybe that's why the clip was floating around. Honestly.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. But loved Norbit, and I guess now I'll have to check it out. I'll have to give it an actual shot. We'll be thrilled to hear this.
I really... No.
For Brian Wilson's sake, Grayson.
No.
It's this or we lap up our piss together, okay?
What does you that have to do with Brian Wilson?
It's just these are the options that we have so far of what to do on Saturday, you know?
I thought we were just hanging out.
No, I'm tattooing Will, so the piss idea is really bad. That's like the risk of infection and something getting in there is really... Like, it'd be really rude if you to choose that option. And it's my apartment, too. I don't want piss all over this.
I mean, you don't have to keep bringing up the benefits, JC. You already sold me.
Fuck. Damn it. You'll have to convince Will, and I know he'll hate that idea. He won't want to do it at all.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way... we haven't really addressed on the podcast yet that Will is a liar and so is Chargal.
Oh, yeah. So true. They were both supposed to watch with us.
Mm-hmm. They're supposed to watch Megalopolis. And they both, the day beforehand, just bailed. What the hell? Like,
at least Will's planning on coming up this weekend. I don't know what Chargal's doing.
I don't know either. But disrespecting us, you know, playing with us.
Do you think we watch Megalopolis again when they do come up?
I think that's only fair, you know? Or we say, Chargal, if you'd like to come and visit us and ever stay with us again in Austin, you do have to watch Megalopolis in advance. Like, that's her kind of, like, ticket, her admission, you know? And I think she'll wait so last minute that she'll end up having to watch it on the car ride here. Okay? Hear me out. And then when she arrives, we surprise her with a Megalopolis watch party.
Just back-to-back Megalopolis.
That would actually drive someone insane. I didn't consider that. Watching that movie twice in a row, back-to-back, would I think, end me. That'd be really, really hard, Grayson.
You'd turn out like Brian Wilson after
a I'd have like that. No option but. And then when people ask me, what is your favorite movie of all time, I have one response and one response only, and that is, well, Megalopolis. So... Yeah, I don't love that fate that's ahead of me. It's just tough.
But you would subject Chargal to that.
Well, yeah. that's right. Yes. That's exactly. Right. Well, she's durable Chargal after all. I think she could handle it. You know,
durable Chargal.
Durable Chargal. I think that's the nickname we came up with her a while ago. And I feel like we let it fall to the wayside. But it bears repeating that she is what a durable girl, you know?
I don't think we've ever said this before, ever.
I think we did, because I remember her bringing it up off the podcast, how much she hated the nickname. But it was something to that effect. Maybe it was like Sturdy Chargal, but I don't think it was Sturdy.
Sturdy sounds more correct.
That just has so many other implications about like weight and such. I don't think we said Sturdy.
I think we might have said Sturdy.
Sturdy's a lot meaner than durable, I feel, you know? I would rather be called durable JC than sturdy JC. You know, again, the implications of heft and weight, just I can't separate from the word.
Now that you say sturdy, it almost does ring a bell, but I think it was something other than that as well.
Not sturdy nor durable.
Man.
We wouldn't have said resilient Chargle. That does not roll off the tongue even remotely.
No.
It's probably more true to what I'm trying to convey when I say durable, but it just doesn't work for a nickname. She'll have to understand. But
man,
what I love about durable Chargle is that we get to double all in there. And that's such a grotesque sound.
That really is quite something.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, I'm a proponent for sticking with durable, but if you can find a better one or remember a better one, just let me know. This podcast will be the platform to share it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But fucked up that they both lied to us.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's really the ultimate point here. Gray the Gray, anything else that you have going on in your life aside from how busy you are?
I mean, busy is kind of the top thing. My parents are coming to town relatively soon.
Oh, again? Wow, this is so soon after the last one.
Yeah, I don't really know when they're showing up, to be totally honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they really know either.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Fair enough. On the topic of busyness, I can touch a bit more on my work stuff. Again, it's been a pretty calm week and a half, which I'm super grateful for. Really hoping it stays that way. But one thing I've noticed through talking with so many of the patients there is how many of them express interest in like, yeah, I'd really love to work at a place like this. Yeah, I'd really love to like do what you're doing. And like, I've heard it maybe like from 5 or 6 different people so far. And I've not been at this job for long. And I've heard it expressed to me so many times. And I don't think I get it. You know, like, maybe it seems really fucking easy. Because most of what we're doing for these patients is, like, opening their doors and, like, walking them to lunch. You know, like, there's a little bit of, like, leading therapy. And that's, like, the part I really enjoy. Thursdays are great for that. Thursday, Friday, you get to lead therapy groups as a tech. It's awesome. But maybe the job just seems, like, stupidly simple, I guess. I don't know. But people express interest in it, and I in those moments I'm supportive. I'm like, yeah, cool, that's awesome. But I can't convey to them the extent to which I probably wouldn't have applied for this job if I had known all it would come with, you know?
I think that's fair.
Yeah,
I don't know if they, from their perspective, can really understand all that they subject you to.
Yeah, and a lot of the people that are saying it are some of, like, the healthier patients that are, like, you know, a bit more lucid, a bit, like, doing a bit better in their recovery. But the dude who told me today, he's like actively detoxing and, like retching and, like, in physical and mental pain. And even in the midst of that, he's like, yeah, I really would like this job. And it's just, it's quite the conversation to have. But listen, if they apply and they get it, props, you know? I guess I'll see you in a couple months after your orientation.
Do you think that's an option for people who have been in the hospital to come back and work there?
No. If you've gone, like, to that specific facility, you're not allowed to, I don't think. Just, like, ethically, there are rules in place against it. But there are no rules against working at, like, a different mental health facility, you know?
Hmm.
I would say that I think most places have a, and you could just like straight up lie. I don't know really how they're going to audit this or check this, but I think most mental health facilities try to check like, hey, have you in the past 12 months been admitted to a mental health or a psychiatric facility? And they try to kind of weed those people out, you know, who are like actively undergoing psychological crises. But again, you could simply lie. But yeah, one thing also I learned about work that I thought was really hilarious and I just can't still believe that it's real is that like every morning we get coffee brought to the unit by the people that work in the cafeteria and the patients love their coffee, okay? It's one of the two drugs we give them, everybody, without a prescription. It's the coffee and it's the cigarettes, you know? They love their drugs. And good on them, I guess, because we're giving them even more psychoactive substances to throw in their system. But I thought it was so funny when the charge nurse who was working the floor with me last week leaned over and she said, just wait until they find out it's decaf. And I laughed. I thought that was funny. And then her face was like so serious and somber. And Grayson, it's true. It's decaf coffee that they're all getting. And they just don't know. And she's like, don't tell them. Please don't tell them. And I was like, oh my God, no, of course not. But oh my God. And it makes sense. I'm like, I'm happier that it's decaf, you know? But just the fact that we let them go on about their day, never stating that it is such, you know?
That's insane.
It's pretty wild. But again, I prefer it to pumping these people with more substances that are going to alter their mind, even if it's caffeine, you know, as inoffensive as a psychoactive substance can be. Like, you don't need any more stuff mixing with the other drugs they're on, you know?
Like, I guess.
Antipsychotics. But also, like,
if you're
going to
do that, just tell them.
But then no one would drink it and everyone would want real coffee.
Yeah, no, honestly, if I was in this situation, I would complain constantly about getting decaf.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. No one's ever asked me, is it decaf? I have not run, like, that'll be a conundrum. That'll be a situation where I have to think, do I just lie and say I don't know? Or, like, I think my response, if someone's like, is this decaf? Or, like, do you know if it's, like, I don't know how that question would be phrased to me. But I think my response is going to have to be something along the lines of, like, it's coffee. Like, oh, it's coffee. Like, oh, it's coffee. I need to say it's coffee in a way that implies that it's regular coffee. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They can't know it, you know?
I don't know. I think you just say something like, if they ask you, like, what? Oh yeah, it's coffee.
It's coffee.
Like, yeah. Act like you didn't hear them properly.
Okay. Okay. Also, like, no one's brought it up. You're more of a coffee aficionado than I, Grayson. Is there a big taste difference between regular coffee and decaf?
If you get two of the same, like, coffees, like, if it's meant to be the same coffee, one's decaf, one's regular.
Yeah.
But they're meant to be, like, the same roast, same origin, all that sort of stuff. Then you can kind of tell.
Okay.
Personally, I can't really. It's more of like a placebo thing for me. But people say you can tell.
Yeah.
But like if someone just hands you a cup of coffee and asks, hey, is this decaf or caffeinated? You're not going to tell by taste.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. Well, I'm happy for that. I'm very happy for that fact. Hopefully I'll never be confronted with that question. I will say it makes it even funnier now. The people that like stock up on coffee and try to like hoard it. Two guys, both of them in wheelchairs, got into a fight about the coffee. Because one dude had stockpiled 6 cups of it. It's a limited amount. There's only like one of these containers of coffee for the whole unit every morning. And this dude got 6 cups of it and was like running them back to his room in his wheelchair. And then the other wheelchair dude called him out on it. And then the one who was stealing the coffee just started screaming, going ballistic and threatening to hurt the other guy. For not minding his own business. But then when you zoom out and it's like, yeah, it's also decaf, the story just, it's even more absurd. And I think I told you about the one dude who was like this big jolly guy. Maybe I didn't. This big jolly guy who like clearly had some intellectual disability going on as well. He was probably more mentally like a 10-year-old or so than the actual, like, probably 40-year-old some-odd man that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing the same thing, except instead of stockpiling the coffees and hoarding them, he was just fucking throwing them back. And he drank 8 coffees one morning, and after his breakfast, he just vomited all over the floor. So, shout out
poor
to that
guy.
Dude. He's awesome.
That's so sad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he was just apologizing profusely, talking about how his tummy hurt.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to clean up some of his vomit, some of like the residue that was there. But listen, I didn't have to work on the C unit when everyone was pissing and lapping it up. So I'll take the vomit.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, that's been my work situation. Really, like, I appreciate the calmness. I like hearing about the crazy shit happening right next door to me. I don't need to be involved in it, you know?
And if I am, exclusively get to hear about this stuff. I don't have to deal with it at all. I'm in the best scenario here.
It's true. It's true. I will say, it is, like, now that I've had, like, a couple groups of people, like, that have, like, come into the facility and left and, like, seen them go from, like, really fucking struggling. Either they're, like, right in the middle of, like, an OD, like, situation and they're, like, detoxing. And people, when they detox, they're fucking assholes, okay? And, like, it makes sense. They're in, like, some of the worst physical pain imaginable. And it's just, like, nonstop torture and, like, you want to be in bed all day. But from going from, like, how irritated and agitated they are when they enter to leaving and they're, like, oh, like, at their baseline, normal, happy, you know, because they're not in any more pain. And then even the people who just enter sad and they just had a suicide attempt and now they're here. The people that leave and they're, like, oh, not feeling suicidal. It's really cool, like, to see that and, like, be part of their discharge. I really like that aspect of the job. Mm-hmm. And so I've thankfully gotten to be a part of a lot more of that over the past week and a half as well. So... it's definitely the pros and con list is growing more on the pro side now. I will not say the cons have been outweighed or matched because the cons are pretty hefty when they pop up. But I'm enjoying it. I think so. Yeah,
that's good. Definitely. What are the like list of pros? Because there's the like seeing people recover, big pro.
Yeah,
getting paid. Probably also a big pro.
Massive pro. I really like my coworkers for the most part. A lot of them are really cool. And big there's pro. No lack of things to ever talk about with them, which is how much shit is going on. I will say another pro is that you get kind of direct client care, you know, and the fact that I want to go into therapy and like work with patients and clients, that kind of thing. The fact that mm-hmm. I can get hands-on experience with people going through mental health issues is like really invaluable. And also the fact that they let the techs lead some of the groups, you know, like every morning there's a community group that's tech led and the person I usually work with, she doesn't like leading the groups as much. She hasn't actually done it yet. We were in the same orientation together. So she just lets me do all of them. And I really enjoy it, like getting the lead group therapy. And I honestly think I have an easier go of it than the actual therapists do that are there because the therapists are going all over the place and they're not living with and like seeing the patients constantly and they're working with triple as many patients as I am. And so mm-hmm. I get to work with them 5 days straight and like do all their therapy groups. And so I actually like know them and they know me. So I really like that aspect of it. And just like being able to help out, you know, like, I don't know, if someone needs a fucking toothbrush and I run and get them a toothbrush. Easy, you know, they feel better and I did something really simple. So that's all cool. And then yeah, the cons are obviously like it can be dangerous and intense and you can be exposed to a lot of angry people who don't care about you. But yeah, that's a lot of it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I mean the pro list that you laid out seemed a lot longer.
It's just so I think there are quantitatively more pros, but the intensity of the cons are like fucking up there, you know, like fearing for my life at my job is not something I thought I would have ever like encountered or like wanted to be a part of, you know, so like mm-hmm. the fact that sometimes that can be an issue or that like I don't like multiple of the people I've done orientation with have been sexually assaulted since we started working there, you know, like that's not happened to me fortunately, but like the likelihood of it happening the longer I'm there is pretty high, so don't love that. Like yeah, it's just the harm, the potential for harm you're exposing yourself to is pretty high up there, I think. Mm-hmm. Like one, physically, and then also like psychologically. But
that's fair.
Yeah, I think I'm greatly benefited from me being on the unit that's less acute, you know, not the psychotic one. And I really, really, really hope it stays that way and that they don't kind of stick me over on C a whole lot. I'm good doing it every once in a while, but if that were my day to day, I would not be able to sustain, I don't think, for a very long period of time. And I feel mm-hmm. so bad because this new dude who's doing orientation with us, the one that worked there a decade ago, I overheard my supervisors talking about him, and they were talking about, like, oh, he's doing so good on C today. Oh my gosh, yeah, like he does great over on C, and I think he's gonna get stuck being on C every day because he's doing so well over there. And yesterday he did great, and then today when I was seeing him, he was really struggling. Today was the piss day, of course. Also, what was the other thing? It wasn't he. Oh, one of the patients like was going around just trying to lick everything and like everyone. That was happening. So he got licked today. But I feel like on the list of offenses that can be committed, a lick is maybe not so bad.
Yeah, it could definitely get worse than that.
Yeah, but for him, it's day four of being back at this job in 10 years. So I guess it's a lot for day four, the piss and the licking. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, to have both of those things happen.
Yeah, and if the licking person is the same one who's lapping the piss up off the floor, you don't want that lick.
That's a we can hope lick. That the lick came before the piss lick.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think that person has any way of discriminating who the order of operations, you know?
But we can still hope.
We can hope. We can hope. I'll follow up with the guy, with the new guy. See his takeaway on it all. But I think that's pretty much most of what I had to talk about, Grayson. What's really weird on the school front of things, so what's keeping me busy, you know, not work related but with school, is that I've started the summer semester in which technically I'm a full-time student. I'm supposed to be part-time, but two classes counts as full-time during the summer because it's such an abbreviated semester compared to the spring and fall. And I'm only 4 weeks in and midterm started. Like, now it's technically week five, but I've already done both my midterms. That was so soon. Like, I feel like I haven't even learned anything, and then the midterms happened, you know?
That is pretty quick.
Yeah. But in fairness, each week it's been, like, 4 to 8 lectures, I feel like. So it's, like, it's a lot of material, but when you consume it just so quickly, I don't know. But
doesn't feel that way?
No. But I got 96 on one midterm, got a 98 on the other, so woo! I don't want to make it sound like I am doing these great things educationally. All the tests are pretty much open note. Like, it's just, they don't give a fuck, it doesn't seem like. So, it makes my life easier.
That's real. Even if it wasn't open note, people would cheat anyways, so, like, why bother?
It's true. Like, if you're not going to have the proctoring system, which they don't, yeah, people are going to cheat anyways. But yeah, can't wait for this. I mean, I don't know. I'm enjoying the schoolwork too. It's just a lot to like
balance.
Yeah. To come home and then just go straight into schoolwork like every day, but kind of has to be the case, I guess, for now. But the classes themselves are enjoyable. It's psychological assessments is one class and then addictions is the other. And so it's material I care about and like I want to learn about. So that's good in that respect, you know?
I got a question, JC.
Yeah.
Is Will coming up this weekend?
I don't know. I think he is because of the tattoo, and he loves to get his tattoos. And in the past, being sick has not stopped him. But he did mention he might be coming down with something. And even if he is going to be slightly sick, with the chance of getting us sick, I really would prefer he not come, you know?
Yeah, I really can't afford to be sick right now.
No. No, and I was just sick. I was sick about like 3-4 weeks ago. It was horrible. It was the worst. And then I had a like lingering allergies and congestion for about 3 weeks after. And that only like just went away like this past Monday. And I don't want anything else. I'd like to not.
With the amount of sleep I'm getting, I know my immune system is not operational.
Yeah,
he could like be in the next room over and sick and I'd still probably catch it.
I feel like if he gets you sick, you probably pass away. I feel like that's,
it's possible.
Yeah, likely, I'd say. I'm likely. Really hoping my immune system becomes fortified from working at this psych hospital. Like, I'm exposed to just so many more germs now, you know, where I hope that's what's happening, but we'll see. I am getting more of a tan. I have to take out everyone for physical activity and for some of the therapy groups and for smoke breaks. So I have quite the fucking farmer's tan. But the farmer's tan begins so low down on my arm because of where scrubs fall on your arm. It's like halfway down the upper arm. It's not like the top quarter or top third of it, like a t-shirt. So my farmer's tan pokes out of even t-shirts. It's fucked up.
That does kind of suck, but at least you're getting to be outside. I don't get any outside time.
You say that, but half the outside time I'm breathing in cigarette smoke. So there's a trade-off to these things, you know?
Yeah, even that's not that bad.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree so bad. Cigarette smoke is so disgusting. You don't mind it, like the smell?
No, not really.
Oh, that's so wild. I only learned today how to properly light a cigarette. The dude who showed me, he said that the way I have been doing it makes me look like a tool, which is tough. And it's a guy I get along with. He was not saying it to be disparaging. He was just being honest. But I've been using my pointer finger to use the lighter, and apparently it's supposed to be using your thumb. And guess what?
You've been using your pointer finger on the lighter.
Before this job, Grayson, I've only ever used those clicky lighters. Like, you know, like the ones with like the long point and then you press in. Those are the only lighters I've ever used before. I've never used a traditional lighter. And so, yeah, I've been using my pointer finger to light them all. And today I learned the thumb is way fucking easier. And why did it take a month before anyone told me?
Well, because you've just never had a friend like him, I guess.
I guess not. He's great. This guy is one of the ones I'm talking about who, when he showed up, was detoxing and was fucking miserable and, like, hated everyone. But in the past, like, 2-3 days, he's become very sociable and, like, a positive influence, which is cool.
Let's go.
And part of that is he taught me how to light a cigarette. So, woo!
Massive W, that guy.
Right. But Gray the Gray, is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we ride off into the sunset? I think we did it.
Yeah, I honestly really got to get to bed.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to go do that. We're both going to tuck ourselves in the bed, swap photos of what we're wearing, and we'll see everybody next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Adios!